yourself to attract and convert new clients with ease with Sales Confidence Mastery System that Genevieve Scurry has devised. We are so excited to have this amazing guest today because she's going to share all about that. And what's so special about Genevieve is that she's an international business success and sales strategist, and she's here to help you grow your sales confidence and income without burnout. So Genevieve, tell us, what are the biggest blocks that stop with female entrepreneurs from attracting and converting ideal clients with ease?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu, mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Yeah. Honestly, it's just being weird. If we can get people to be themselves, they typically do much, much better. So what I mean by being weird is people have a very odd, like a misconception about salespeople. And it's based on exclusively on all the bad sales experiences that they've had and like zero of the good sales experiences. So if you've had a good sales experience, chances are pretty good you don't feel like you've been sold to at all. When we poll people and ask them about their worst and best sales experiences, people have a hard time actually coming up with the good ones because they don't categorize them as a sales experience. So we have to go back and ask them, like, well, what were some of the things you purchased in the last 3 to 5 years? Who sold those to you? And then they're like, oh yeah, I guess I did have a sales experience. So I would say, you know, obstacle number one for people is not really understanding that really good salespeople enjoy all of it. They enjoy it. It can be enjoyable. If you really understand some of the elements, you got to have a mindset that this can be enjoyable. It's about creating relationships and connections, and it is 100% about serving people. So that's one of the obstacles. I think another obstacle is just not knowing how to story tell. So
thank you. I remember an uncomfortable sales conversation where I was in front of an extraordinarily successful person, and I was inviting this person to come to an event. And I remember that, you know, like I had like a great conversation. And then when the moment came to actually say the price, I was like, you know, I kind of like froze. And I mean, like, I felt like so constricted, you know, I felt like so comfortable, so kind of like weird, like say. And I'm wondering about, what would you say needs to happen so that, you know, when you're flowing, you're talking about, okay, how's your day, or whatever else you're going to talk about as a preamble, you're perhaps feeling great. And then as it comes to saying the price, it's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to choke. So this happens so you don't actually get that choking feeling. Because I can't say that I still do that, but I do remember the very first time that I started selling that particular event sponsorship, the very first call was incredibly uncomfortable.
Yes.
And then as it went by, I was like, oh, it's not so bad. I actually, you know, flew through the thing. And I'm wondering, is it the case that you just have to practice it enough in a way that actually, and you need to practice it on people that, you know, if they don't come, it's not such a big deal. Whereas what I did is I did the opposite. I started with the people I wanted to be there the most. And, yeah, you know, you can say I pretty much like did the worst job on the people that I actually wanted to have there the most, and then worked my way backwards. And I do think that was probably a bad decision. So what would you say is the right sales process where you take the sales confidence to attract and convert your ideal client?
So Lily, the thing I love about what you said is you recognize that you actually felt that in your body, which tells me that you were having a nervous system response. In other words, your brain was telling you this isn't a safe conversation to have. So that's very much how most people feel. And what we teach is, what I teach is how to regulate your nervous system by, and you did mention a lot of it, by repeating those conversations. A lot of times people don't prepare. So they know kind of what they want to say, but they actually don't practice it. They don't rehearse it. They don't hear themselves saying it. So in that moment, your concern is like, I don't want to sound pushy. I don't want to be weird, but I want to close this sale. And then it comes out as something that feels really inauthentic. So I tell people, whenever you feel inauthentic, your body will say no. And then it'll create a little bodily response, such as like that big gulp that sometimes you do when you talk, or, you know, you speed up what you're saying, or you over-explain things. So the antidote to that is learning how to have safe conversations, which means actually taking some time to finesse the words that you use so they sound like you. So for example, a lot of times people don't know how to close. So it's kind of like, well, here's my price. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, that wasn't what I wanted to say. But if you learn, here are the safe conversations I'm going to have throughout my entire process. And it also involves listening. I'm also tracking with my prospect and like, are they understanding? Are we connecting? Does it feel like I solve a problem for them? Are they in agreement that I'm solving an important problem for them? And then I've explained it clearly. Then if you've gone through those steps, you've actually earned the right to say, well, sounds like we should take a next step and work together. Here's what that looks like. Now, most people have never heard that kind of verbiage. It's like they've never heard, like, it sounds like we're ready to take a next step together. You feel like you're ready for a next step? I'm ready for a next step, right? Yes, great. All right, well, here's how this works. It's X amount of dollars that gets you X, Y, and Z, as I've referred to before. And once we agree that that's the right fit for you, then, you know, I'm going to invoice you. Then you're going to give me a credit card, or, you know, like, it feels logical. It feels like it's the right next conversation, but most people don't practice. They don't practice. They don't know what words trigger that part of them that's like, oh, don't say that word. And so we learn how to find words that fit like Lily. There are going to be words that I would use, you would never use. It doesn't sound like you, and vice versa. But you got to take the time to figure out what that is, what your internal script is, and then feel so confident about it. You can say it in an elevator, at the coffee shop, while you're talking to someone at a conference, or even on a cold call.
Thank you. Tell us more about the habits, routines, or apps that could help an entrepreneur to feel safe selling. Are there any particular exercises like meditation or just simply like rehearsing the same thing over and over and refining those kind of words? Or is there any sort of like EFT tapping or anything else that you suggest for people to kind of get comfortable? So, because I find when I'm in a really good mood and let's say I've gone dancing, I've gone for a walk, or I've had a massage, or I don't know, something really awesome happened in my life, then I'm like this, you know, big bubble of energy. And that's when it's like, everybody wants to buy from me, even if I don't try to. And the opposite is true as well, where it's like, if I've had like a mini argument with someone, or something upsets me, or I'm just in a bad mood, which doesn't happen very often, but let's say it does happen to be, you know, or I'm just stressed, perhaps. Let's say when I start a brand new event, but let's say where I have to sell, I know, 500 tickets for an event, and it's like the very first one didn't go down so well. It's like, oh my God. And there's that pressure, like making that very first day, you know, the pressure not add so much to the general pressure, you know, so you kind of can perform really badly. So like, what kind of routines or apps or something to kind of that an entrepreneur could use to feel safe when they are selling?
Yeah. So that's a great question. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever actually had sales training? Have you ever actually been, you know, with someone who's good at sales? It's like, here, you have. Okay. Did it work out for you?
Well, I have sold millions so far, but I would say I need to optimize everything I'm doing anyway, because I do feel that there's always that next thing that you don't know. For example, like the regulation of my nervous system is not something I have learned about. So
right.
I'm sure that there are, you know, multiple levels where I could still kind of go higher and higher in terms of my sales mastery.
Well, what I was getting at is that most people get plunged into a sales job. They either start something that they're super passionate about, like a business where they've got a great product or a service. They're really passionate about it, but they've never actually learned how to sell. There's like sales is a recipe. There's ingredients, there's quantities, and order matters. And if somebody hasn't given you that recipe, you could have some of the right ingredients, but maybe the wrong quantities. And what I find is a lot of times people don't have the right order. So they'll try to close before they should, you know, they'll start pitching their product before they've done a thorough needs analysis, you know, then it just sounds like you're just pitching everything for everybody. So what happens is your brain starts to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm really bad at this. And your brain is designed to keep you safe. So the minute you try something that didn't feel good, your brain's like, you know what, Lily? We shouldn't do that anymore. And it makes it really hard for you to step outside your comfort zone. So it shows up in your body. So yes, you mentioned some great things. And us salespeople, we're a little bit type A. So we don't like to stop and slow down. But truly, the best thing you can do is one, practice and know what you're going to say. Because the worst time to figure out what you need to say is when you need to say it. So there's that. But secondly, yes, before you actually make a call, post something, do a text to someone, you stop, you take 3 breaths, and you ask yourself, what's my intention with this call? And guess what it's not? It's not to sell somebody something. That really shouldn't be the intention. The intention should be connection. The intention should be what you actually articulated, which is a great exchange of energy. So they were like, that Lily liked her a lot. I don't care what she's selling. I want to be a part of it because of how that conversation made me feel. And people tend to downplay that time. And so what they do is they try to speed up the process. They don't regulate themselves. And then they go into the conversation. It's like, another bad conversation. And it's like, great. So now all you've done is tell your brain, here's another reason I don't like selling. Here's another reason selling isn't safe. So one of the things is definitely what you said. Slow down. Take a deep breath. Regulate yourself. The other thing is, and I teach this in my coaching, is schedule deregulation time in your day. So start off in the right mindset. And there are things you can do to start off in the right mindset, like listening to your favorite podcast, getting your brain in the right place, feeling ready to conquer the day, and then resetting again, like mid-morning, and then resetting again, like get up. Walk outside, breathe the air. You know, all of those changes of environment really calm the nervous system down. But if you're a go-getter, and I would bet you're a go-getter, I'm a go-getter. I just want to like just keep plowing through the things. And it's like you actually do better if you take those reset breaks.
Thank you. Is there anything else someone can do to calm themselves aside from everything you mentioned? Because I find because you have like a program around calm confidence, right?
Yes.
And is there anything someone would do like in terms of like meditation or dancing or something that they love so they can come to a conversation in a very attractive kind of way rather than a very kind of off-putting kind of way? And the reason I ask you this is because I find that there are certain coaches that I've purchased, you know, programs from, and they've never really had to sell it to me as such, where I felt like they were so magnetic and their energy was so great and they were like just awesome. And there are others where I felt they were being pushy and they were literally trying perhaps all of Grant Cardone's techniques on me. And it was just off-putting, you know, because it's especially as a sales professional, you know,
yes, like we can see, spot them a mile away. Yep.
So annoying. And I know, you know what they're trying to do. They're trying to be like, you know, ace the Grant Cardone courses on you. And it feels like, oh my God, like you have nowhere to hide. To say no, because they will find a way to get you to say yes. But it feels very pushy. It feels like I don't really want this, like because you're just, like being so pushy about it. So how can someone become that like magnetic, attractive personality when they're selling? So much so that it's like their magnetism and their attraction, their aura, their charisma that kind of does the selling for them, where it's like the customer is asking, like, where do I sign? Rather than like the other way around to kind of say, you know, like buy this at whatever price.
Yeah. So what that person is doing very effectively is they are creating connection points with you that you're not aware of, because everything you're describing is just what actually makes selling so much fun, is learning how to talk to the person in front of you in a way that resonates with them. And it starts with understanding the things about you that are unique and that people find endearing. So I have a tool called Your Sales DNA, and it's a tool that you use to figure out like, what do people really like about you? Most people don't take that inventory. So even without the tool, if you just sat down and asked yourself, what do I hear over and over again, or your listeners, I should say, what do I hear over and over again that people really like about me? Is it that I'm outgoing? Is it that I feel personable? Is it that I'm funny? Is it that I'm direct? Is it that I'm calm? Is it that I'm friendly? You really want to write those things down and lean into them, because those things, and the reason we call them your sales DNA, is that it's different for everyone. So some of the problems that I see in some of these bro training sales toxic hype stuff is that everyone's supposed to be super excited, and you, if you really want this, you would do it. It's like, sure you do. Sure you want it. Stop being a wimp. Take matters into your own hands. And listen, I've actually been down that path. I have been that person. So I get it. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get you to see yourself as something different, but it's not necessarily something that you want to see yourself as. So it feels bad to you. That's why you feel like, I felt like, stop. I don't want any of this. But when you recognize your own attributes, when you understand like, you know what, I'm going to show up as me today, not going to show up as Grant Cardone or his little minions. I'm going to show up as me. I'm going to show up as Genevieve Scorey, because you know what? People can't compete with Genevieve Scorey. They can compete with Grant Cardone and his little, right? And maybe not even him personally. I know that whole persona kind of thing. But it's like, are you taking the time to really evaluate who you are, what your strengths are? How can you lean into those things? And then, and here's the other part, do you pay enough attention to your prospect to know how they want to receive the information? Because you can be funny, but if your prospect's rather serious, then funny isn't going to work out. But if the other person's really, like, and I would say, Lily, probably what that person did that you really tapped into was they were just reflecting who you are. What they did was held up a mirror to all the things about you that are interesting and exciting and amazing. And you were actually seeing yourself in them. And you decided, we're enough alike that we should take this journey together. And that's what people can do. They can use that. Like when you're sure about who you are, your nervous system acts differently. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. That was the top 10 commandments of the ways Miss Entrepreneurs lose clients. So I'm talking, for example, sometimes it's the wording. Sometimes it's like using price instead of investment. Sometimes it's something you said at the wrong time. Sometimes it's what you wear, or you're smiling too much, or you're too happy. I don't know. Tell us about the 10 key ways that most entrepreneurs lose sales.
Yeah.
and how to overcome that.
Yeah. So the first thing is absolutely positively don't show up as you. So you took a class, you followed some advice from somebody else that you thought was incredible, and it's literally not you. People can smell that inauthenticity a mile away. The second thing is people don't prepare. They really just don't prepare. They pick up the phone, they're going to make a call, they're going to send a text, they're going to post something. There's no strategy. They don't know what the next steps are. It's kind of like I'm going to fly by my seat at the seat of my pants. That also does not work. The third thing is they don't know how to engage the prospect in the discovery conversations. So it sounds more like a pitch than it does a conversation. And people like to hear themselves talk. One of my favorite ways to sell to people is to let them sell to themselves. And you do that by letting your prospect actually articulate their problems, their thoughts, their emotions, and then have them articulate what you do, how it could possibly work for them. But again, that's kind of tied to preparing. If you don't know how to do that, you don't know the words to say, which is another thing. Yes, people use the wrong words all the time. Like, for example, one of the words people use all the time that if I could strike it from their vocabulary, it would be interested. So when you call and say, are you interested in, and you might even say, are you interested in learning more? Or are you interested in taking a next step? The problem is the word interested actually ranks in your prospect's mind as commitment. So you're harmlessly saying like, hey, should we take a next step? But they think you're saying, am I ready to close the deal? Are you interested in doing the whole entire thing? So that's not a great word. Another word that I teach people all the time, like use their name and say you more instead of me or I. So the prospect should always be the subject of the sentence. So Lily, what we're going to do next is, Lily, what you're going to love the most about this is, Lily, the next step for people like you are, instead of like, I would, you know, I'm gonna, here's what I do. It's like, nope, Lily's the star of the show. If you're my prospect, you're the star of the show. We're making this all about you. The other thing that people do, and I can go on all day, so you just stop me. The other thing people do is they try to close way too early. So they think like the first conversation I have is the sign up conversation. And the truth is your job as a salesperson is to create, to start three jobs. Start as many safe conversations every day as possible, meaning it's safe for you and they feel safe. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you have to learn how to continue to have safe conversations because almost nobody signs up for anything the first time they hear about it. They really don't. So you've got to understand it's a process. And then the third thing is you have to make it safe for them to say yes. So I'm a big fan of permission-based conversations. So it looks more like where I'd like to take this conversation next would be this. Does that feel right to you? Right? Is now a good time to consider X, Y, and Z? Like I'm asking permission, which leads me to my next thing, which is I only want to talk to people who want to talk to me. I'm not in the convincing mode. If you're not at a place in your problem solving where you're, because there's, I know I have a problem and there's, I'm ready to actually solve the problem I know I have. Those are two different groups of people. So I'm looking for people that know they have a problem and they're ready to do something about it because there's a whole lot of people that aren't ready to solve their problems.
Thank you. So what's the worst ways that people make the clients they want to close a deal with uncomfortable and unsafe? What are the top things that they do that mess up the sales closing process?
Yeah, the easiest thing to go to is they just don't listen. They're like, they're always talking. It's just, and that's a sign of, actually, it's a nervous system reaction. What that tells me is that salesperson is actually having a nervous system issue and they're going into over-explaining mode. But that's probably the biggest mistake. Like I always tell people, listen, if I could just teach you one sentence that could get you more sales, it would be, what are your thoughts about? And then fill in the blank and then listen. More than what's in your product, what it does, what your service is, if you can listen more and let them articulate more, then everything else is secondary to the conversation. It's kind of like, well, they just told you their life's history. They told you, okay, what are your thoughts about that? What have you tried before? Tell me what you're thinking could be some drawbacks to this. You know, I'm asking them to kind of walk through the process. When they're hearing their own voice, that's much safer to their nervous system than interpreting your intention and your voice.
One sales conversation I had really threw me off. And the main reason was because I explained the whole thing and he didn't interrupt me at all. And I mean, that was strange for me because normally there's a lot of like different interruptions and, you know, questions and all these different things. And I was like, oh my God, it felt like so weird that I didn't allow him to like, you know, didn't say, okay, does this make sense to you? And this kind of, I didn't create those kind of situations where he asked questions and he was just like listening the entire time. And I thought, oh my God, this is so weird that, but weird, I don't know, it felt good kind of like in a way that he didn't interrupt it because I'm not used to it. So I'm wondering about what, sorry, I dropped it. I'm just going to start again. Okay. So one of the most important things that any entrepreneur who wants to close more deals is to prepare. I'm wondering about what is required for someone to prepare for a sales conversation. And so that there's that mixture of mechanics of like knowing actually what to say and saying it in the right way and having the, enough clients to speak with that you were able to like try this out and, you know, make improvements on the way. But I'm wondering how does someone have like a perfect balance of, you know, let's say someone has already learned all the Grant Cardone techniques or any other techniques that they're going to, you know, they want to implement. And how can they not like overwhelm the person? How can they make sure that there's that perfect mix of being helpful, wanting to solve the client's problem, you know, being, you know, a great sales person, and at the same time, knowing the mechanics of how to actually do it, knowing what to say at the right moment and so on. How do you manage that process so you're not, you don't come across as pushy and you have a great result for both you and the client that you're trying to help?
Yeah. It really is all about your sales systems. You have to have a system that walks people through the process and that you enjoy using to walk people through the process. So for example, one of the exercises that we do is we have people really learn to articulate the value of their product or service. So most people will be like, hey, I have a pen. You should buy my pen. I love this pen. It's on sale. Buy the pen. Oh my gosh. By the way, let me put my pen. And all of their social media is about the pen. It's the pen. Oh my gosh. It's the pen over here. And it's kind of like, okay, well, so here's the problem. You're out of order. So if you can't figure out the problem that you're solving and talk more to that, which is part of your process, right? So you have to understand the first part of the process is creating awareness. And if you don't understand, I'm in the first stage and not the third stage or the fourth stage, you're going to make mistakes and it's going to feel messy and icky to both of you. So I would tell people, one, you got to, a lot of times people are thrown into sales, like they really never get proper training. If you have a proper training sales system, you would be trained on, this is my product and service. This is who exactly we're selling it to. These are the problems that we solve with this product or service. This is the emotional state that our prospect starts in. And this is where we end them up so that I can speak to that emotional state. So is it confusion? Is it frustration? What is it that they're feeling? And then what's the relief that we want them to feel on the other side? And then there's stories, 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 more stories. This is, and they don't even have to be your stories. They can be other customer stories. So hopefully if you work for a company, you have testimonials. But a lot of times people are like, here's the testimonial. And I'm like, no. I need the whole story. I need where they started, how they were feeling. Because if I'm stuck in the quicksand, I don't want to hear about the people that got out. I want to know, you know, what it feels like to be stuck in the quicksand. And then I'm interested in, well, then what's my next step? But getting out is too big of a step. So I'm not listening if you're starting there. So it's really about understanding like what a side, and everybody wants to push their product or their service. And truly 80% of the work is letting the customer feel seen, letting them feel seen in the conversation and taking your time. So a lot of times when people rush, there's that pushiness comes across, but it is 100% when you have a system, and I will tell you this too, there's a lag time between I've perfected my system and it's working. Failure is really great feedback. People sometimes, they're like, I don't want to feel failure. And I'm like, yes, you do. You do. Because you need to learn, that's feedback. It's very, very, very valuable feedback. And a lot of salespeople don't debrief after a sales call. So a lot of really good learning doesn't get documented because I'm like, oh, well, that was a failure. Okay, let's walk through it. Let's talk it. Let's figure out, where did you follow the system? Where do we not follow the system? Does the system not work? Do we need to adjust? You have such a feeling of liberation when you understand it's almost exclusively your system and not you when it comes to not being successful at sales.
Thank you. What can an entrepreneur do when they're trying to sell a ticket product or program to someone who has already bought a seller program for, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, and perhaps they haven't had the result they were expecting with that person. And now you coming up with something that could be even lower ticket than that, and you know you could get much better results, but they are already jaded. They're already in that, you know, I'm not so sure because this other thing didn't work. And therefore right now I don't have the money to, you know, supposedly I don't have the money, but because they don't really mean that. They do have the money, but they just, you know, it just feels like I've been in this situation a few times where the client has bought something else that was crappy. And then, you know, coming to me after, it's so much harder to actually say, oh, actually mine is a lot better. So what do you do in this situation?
Yeah. So the first thing is you have to understand what they're really saying. What they're really saying is I made a bad choice and that feels terrible. And I don't want to make another bad choice. And you said it. What most people tend to do is they try to talk about the differentiation between your product and their product, but they're not. Remember, when somebody is feeling bad about a decision they made, they are not in a decision-making state of mind. So you've got to get them back to safety. And I'm going to go back to listening. So, and I've had this same thing. I think we all have. What I typically will do during discovery sessions, and I'm interested for my own personal interest. Whenever someone's like, oh my gosh, I'd love to work with you. Tell me, you know, what do I need to know? My first question is, have you ever had coaching before? Have you ever taken a course before? What have you done in the past? Because what I'm trying to find out is what worked, what didn't work. Why didn't it work? Was it the program? Was it them? Are they not super committed? I mean, the number of people that say, yeah, I'm willing. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I've had people pay for stuff and then they like, I'm like, where'd they go? It's like something felt unsafe after they made that decision. Now I got to corral them back in. So if you can help that person feel more safety, and it is a lot of empathy as well. So it's like, Tell me what you experienced. Tell me what you thought you were buying. Tell me the promise that they made. Now, obviously, these are spaced out questions, but you really want to get to a place of understanding and empathy. So then it becomes, well, that couldn't have felt good. How did you react to that? Right? Okay. And then now we can go a little bit further into the conversation about, so let's go back to the first thing you said, the reason that you signed up. Did that ever actually get fixed? And they'll either say yes or no. Okay. Now I hear you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're feeling a little apprehensive because you've already spent. So like, I'm going to kind of reiterate. So now I know that like maybe I'm going to have to offer some sort of trial. Maybe I'm going to have to offer some sort of guarantee of my product or service. So then I can start to evaluate like, well, would it feel safer for you to either have a product trial or some sort of guarantee? So I'm trying to figure out, like, if you still have this problem, you still feel like you're losing money because you haven't solved this problem, then let's figure out a way to navigate it together in a way that feels aligned. And then I would go down the, this is where though, after we're like, agree, then this is where you put in the, okay, so before we move any further, I feel like it's really important to tell you my product differs significantly in a few different ways. Let me explain how this would have helped you, how this method, how this product, how this formulation would have helped you with the exact thing that you experienced.
Thank you. It's about how to leverage emotional triggers that your potential clients currently experience in order to hook them into getting them onto a call, for example. Let's say someone is already frustrated that they have tried multiple different things to close sales and they haven't. What would you say, for example, in a social media post or in an event to kind of draw them in? Would you kind of express some of their frustrations, like most people don't know how to close sales and this kind of thing, and you kind of agitate that pain in a certain wording that would attract them? Or would you paint a picture of the positive things that you could potentially get, or both?
I think you have to do both. And I think I don't love, and I know it's a sales term, like agitate the pain. What I really want them to do is to feel seen in their pain. So I might make it personal. I might say, I remember how frustrating it was to make 10 sales calls for 3 days in a row and get zero responses. Here's three things I did that changed that. So I would bring forward some things that would enlighten them. So I'm going to do a little teaching, but my hook is the frustration, right? Or a lot of times when you coach, you can say, I just got off the phone with a customer who was so frustrated by da 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 da. And I can talk through like, this was a customer story. So she was super frustrated. She tried three other things. By the time I got to her, she was skeptical. She was worried. She, like, I'm saying all the things, right? After just 2 weeks on the program, we, you know, blew this thing wide open for her. The other thing is testimonials from your customers. But here's the thing. Most people don't know how to get good testimonials from their customers. Your customer has to tell their before story and all of the emotional components of it. The then I found you and your system, and now I feel X, Y, and Z. Like, that's how a testimonial should. And then the person's like, well, that was me. Of course that 100% was me. So we want to have them understand, like, you're not alone. It wasn't just you. It happens all the time. I specialize in fixing those kinds of things. And then, of course, there's a lot of other hooks that you can use. You know, three things you're saying that are blowing your sales that you're completely unaware of. You know, it's kind of like, oh, what are those three things that I'm saying? You know?
And tell us about the most successful case studies of, let's say, programs that you've closed, or some of the most successful sales programs that you've had, and what kind of techniques did you use in order to make it happen for yourself or some of your clients to attract and convert ideal clients with ease?
Yeah. So although I do offer a library of courses people can take, I find that people struggle with the motivation to take all those courses. So my favorite technique is the hot seat. It's where somebody inside the community says, I have a problem. I'm willing to go on video. I want you to work me through it. Let's fix the problem. And it's like a Zoom. It's me and them. And the beautiful part of it is you either watch them and empathize with them, or you watch them and you're like cringing a little bit because you're like, oh, don't say that, because you know better. So it's like those living, breathing, real life examples of the framework in action, even in small pieces, I think is where the breakthroughs come in the most, because people don't know what they don't know. And then you tell them like, hey, go off and try this one thing. And we work through that. And mostly, I got to tell you, mostly it's verbiage. It's like, okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to make three calls. Are you comfortable with what you're going to say? Because we just work through it. Yes, I'm comfortable. Does it feel comfortable to say that? Yes, it does. Can you make those calls in the next 24 hours? I can. Great. We're all watching. Report back. How did it go? And then typically they report back and they're like, holy cow, it worked. You know? And I'm like, there we go. You know, I knew it would work, but it's really great when they can see other people having that success. I think the best learning takes place by doing, really by doing, by saying the things out loud, by making the mistakes, and by having someone kind of watching to go like, okay, you know, this is what you did. That was really great. Double down on that. Here's where your opportunities are. Let's tweak those.
Thank you. What do you do when someone has multiple programs that could be a good fit for a particular client? How do you decide which one to offer? Do you just choose one? And then like, how do you know they're going to like that one? Like, how do you choose when you have, let's say, 10 different programs that could be a good fit for one client? And like, how do you go from there to actually choose that particular thing when you're not 100% sure that will be the one thing? Do you have to choose one thing, or do you let them choose what they want out of the 10 things?
Yeah. I believe your customers want you to make a recommendation. They want you to be able to identify their problem. They want you to be able to make a recommendation and then check in with them. Does that feel right? A confused mind says no. There's nothing clear about 10 different offers. You know, people that sell hundreds of products and every day it's something new, it's something different. I'm like, I've stopped listening. What you want, if you're not sure what people want from you in terms of a solution, then I would say you haven't earned the right to close. You haven't earned the right to close. You need to be so clear about your offers and their primary concerns. So people will have a ladder of concerns, right? You want to get to, I want you as my customer to have the best win possible, which comes from the biggest problem that you have that you're willing to tackle. So there's nothing wrong with having multiple products, because people have different problems in different stages of their business. But if, as a salesperson, as a consultant, as a sales leader, you don't understand the tools in your tool belt, you will likely overwhelm your prospects with decision-making trauma. So I would say you got to understand your stuff really well, what exact problem that solves, and then you got to compare and contrast to what your prospect is telling you is the thing they're looking to solve. Right now, there's plenty of time, if you over deliver, and you should, to tell them about your other things.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
I actually have a website. It's gscorey.com. I am on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. It is my first name, Genevieve_Scorey. And they can connect with me there. If anyone's interested in having their sales DNA done, I can send them our tool. I'm happy for them to use it for free to get a sense of, you know, what are the things about you that you should be leaning into the most.
Thank you. Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.